Welcome back to Good Moms Bad Choices. I'm Erica.
And I'm Mila.
Happy hump day.
Hey.
It's Wednesday. Wednesday.
Is that a blur between Monday and Wednesday?
No.
Monday.
It's my chance.
Monday through Friday.
Yes. Please go sit down, boo boo. Irie's already interrupting, but you know we're gonna push through.
Goodness on her way.
It's motherhood, and yeah, get your child here ASAP.
Oh, because I have all control over that.
Yeah, you do. Anyway, we have two amazing guests here. We have the founders of House of Intuition, Marlene Vargas and Alex Naranjo.
Orange tree.
You know, because I'm thinking of naranja.
Naranja is orange. Naranjo is orange tree.
There you go.
Got it.
So yeah. She a ho, not a ho.
Is that what first attracted you to her?
Always. For sure.
Everybody loves a ho, you know. Look at us.
So, ladies, you guys are partners.
Correct.
And yes. Business partners.
Yes.
And mamas.
Yes. Yes.
Can you tell us about House of Intuition? I mean, I've known about House of Intuition for a really long time. I had an ex-boyfriend that lived in Silver Lake and in high school. Was it in high school? Yeah, high school.
Oh, wow. She can make it real.
I know,
she straight
right?
said I was when I was in high school.
I was a senior.
Oh, that makes it better.
And he lived off Sunset and right where Dodger Stadium is, like right up that hill right there. Mm. And so I would always be like, what is that place? House of Intuition. What is that? And it was always like this mystical like house on like a hill, but it's not on a hill. It's like stairs.
Mm. Yes.
But it always looked really cool. And then someone told me that one of the girls from The Craft was like a tarot card reader there, and I was like, what?
I don't know, Rachel True.
And then it made it even more mystical and magical.
Is that like a Valley like movie, or is that like just a teenage girl movie?
No, a teenage girl movie.
The Craft was just, every teenage girl wanted to be a witch during that time.
Right? Yeah, and then one time I went to Forever Cemetery, and the whole cast came out. I almost fucking lost my shit, including her, because I was her. She's black.
There's only
really
one black girl, yeah. It was you. That's me!
I was like, I'm a witch. It all makes sense.
The craziest part about the whole thing is like I vaguely remember the movie. I only remember the two parts, like light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Take my scars.
Oh yeah,
take my scars. Anyway, we're getting off track.
Sorry.
It's a great movie though.
Everything
they're casting, it feels like
everything we know about witchcraft is from The Craft.
Honestly, that was like my entry into like witchery. It was like my witch starter pack. Movie. But tell our listeners a little about House of Intuition. I know you guys have multiple properties.
Locations.
Storefronts now, brick and mortars, and I know you guys are online and everything, but how did you guys start? What is House of Intuition?
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to take you back a few years. We opened it up in 2010. Alex and I met in 2007. Prior to the year of 2007, before her and I met, of course, you know, we were two completely different people. So my life, I was in real estate. I owned a medical billing company for 13 years. Alex was a social worker. She was also into real estate. She's originally from Colombia, so her family lives there. And she's grown up by herself here since she was 18. me, on the other hand, I was a single mom, you know, raising my son. And his father was an alcoholic, so he was an amazing man. However, he had a substance abuse problem. And so, which ultimately I ended up leaving that relationship. And after that, I went into a relationship with a woman. And my sexuality is one whole nother story that we probably have to be.
I already got questions.
right. So, and we can talk about that because it's kind of deep spiritually and also just healing, why that all came about. But so I was with someone for 9 years, married her in Canada, came here. We had our, because that was before California actually allowed it. So my son at that time, when I had met her, we were together since he was 4 years old up until he was 13, right before I met Alex. But I was living a very materialistic life at that time. So everything around me, I had, you know, about, I can't even remember anymore. I think it was 7 different homes. I thought I was Trump. That was the
Damn.
Time. Oh, no.
That wallet.
I thought, like, let me tell you, I was like, whoa, I got so much. Like, this is the time you can purchase houses without actually putting any money down.
Mm,
they
oh,
didn't
damn.
Check your, they didn't oh, even
this
check
before
your
the crash.
Income. You don't yeah. even know because I know you're a high school girl. So you
now that I'm thinking about it, because I graduated high school in 2005, so it wasn't in high school. It must have been after, but I spent a lot of time in Silver Lake during that time, and I remember always seeing that house,
right.
and I remember it being different.
It was very different.
No, like, it was something else, and then it was like...
Yeah, it was an attorney's office.
Yeah, okay, so then, yeah that's what it was. Yeah. I'm 32. I'm not that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah.
So at that time, you know, it was... We were together, and then I was living this life that I thought was my happiness, and then the market crashed here in California.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah. Absolutely, but I didn't care about everywhere. I was in California, right. So it was like everything was being stripped of me. Mm-hmm. And this is the year that I met Alex, and this is also the year that I went through a very big breakup, which is the woman that I had married.
Mm-hmm. So you had met Alex already?
No. Oh, that's a whole nother story. I manifested her,
oh,
by the way.
Well, yeah, sort of.
It's
but that's,
complicated.
Yeah.
Okay. It's so complicated. Okay, so Alex isn't in the picture yet. This is just my story. Okay. He's not sitting on this side. But so I can't say her name, but we were together for 9 years. And my aunt, I found out my aunt had pancreatic cancer. And 17 days later, she actually passed. Mm. And she was an aunt that's like, you know, at that moment when I was younger, it was like my mom was like the evil witch. You know, I was like, please, I don't let a train hit her. She's not letting me do what I want to do.
Like, we all been there.
And so I always gravitated towards my aunt. And my aunt was one that was really close to me. So when she passed over, I lost it. And through a dream that I thought was a dream, was actually the first time that I actually had audio that I heard her voice. Pull me out of bed, and I woke up, and I can hear her talking to me. And I've
while
always
you were awake.
Been yes. While
oh,
I was
wow.
awake. But at that time, you know how somebody like startles you when you get up,
mm-hmm.
and you don't quite remember like that you're awake yet. So you have that moment of like, am I awake? Am I asleep? Well, at that time, if I could like fully remember, I remember just being in a big daze, and I was also really sad. So when you're in depression too, you can kind of have those out of body kind of experiences. And so she took me through these chain of events, and basically I had my partner and somebody very close to me having sex, which, yes.
She was showing you something.
Yes.
Mm.
So I pretty much lost it. And I ended up going into deep depression, and we split up, of course.
Was it true?
Like
yes.
the oh.
She actually walked into it.
Oh, you walked into it. Oh,
wait, hold
okay.
on. Hold on.
Okay, I thought you had a vision.
No. I thought it was a vision.
This was real.
She was at your house together having sex with somebody else?
I owned a duplex, so it was in the front of my house.
She was a bold biatch. You didn't even go get a hotel room? I thought it was a dream.
No. You gotta follow, because I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna have
okay,
to try
I was
and
like,
squeeze.
Wait, what?
I gotta try to squeeze this all in this podcast.
Okay.
This is like a huge journey.
Okay, okay. So
10 years.
Okay. Okay. So while you're going through this depression, you wake up out of your slumber just because you hear this voice.
Right.
It leads you
and
to
I
the
actually
next room.
Feel like somebody picked me up
oh,
out of
and
bed.
It guided you.
Yes.
To-
and so I was standing on my feet, and I can hear my aunt say, "Get up." And she walks me through these chains of events, and I can hear her tell me, go downstairs. I go to the back door. I'll give you a little bit more details.
She's getting goosebumps.
Go back door, and I went to touch the handle, and I can hear my aunt again say, "No, grab your keys." And so I know
That's
why
I
wish
you
would have
said,
"Bitch, get a knife." A fiction story, but that would have been good. That would have been a
murderous
woman's sport.
You go crazy. Oh, yes? Okay, keep going, it's fine. Oh my gosh, thank you. Love it.
Aww. Little fairy.
Oh, flowers.
Oh,
it's like a sweet. I love you.
So I actually physically walked in. There was some other chain events that happened, but basically I walked in and I saw my wife having sex with somebody very close to me.
Oh, shit.
Mm-mm-mm. And so the first thing that I thought of was, one, I have a child, and he's in the house. Mm-hmm. And so, and I have a business. I have real estate also, and I also at this time have a real retail store. And so my first thing was, take care of everything, I'll be back. I grabbed my bags, I stuffed my bags, and I freaking flew out to Las Vegas. And I stood there for about a good 3 weeks. And I was in deep, deep depression. This is the first time. Now, I've had depression. I've had a depression around me all my life. My brother's schizophrenic, mad, and depressive. My sister also suffers from depression. I have a lot of other family members that also suffer from it. So I've always kind of been around it, but I've been a strong person. So I never really understood depression. Mm-hmm. As much as, like, because I always look, why are you so sad? Like, you have everything. Like, what's going on? Like, those same common things. But then when you're in it, you get it. Like, it doesn't matter what you have. Like, mm-hmm. you just fall, and it's really hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And I remember being, like, the size of an ant, and the world was so big, and everything was spinning, and I was standing still. Mm-hmm. And I remember that moment. Like, I could feel it. And I came back, and little by little, of course, I had to go through all of that separation and stuff. And then Alex, now moving forward to Alex, Alex I've always known. She was like my crush in the bar, like at the gay bar in Long Beach. She never even knew I existed, by the way. So I like to say that she was my crush that I actually landed.
Oh.
Because she was nice. The popular girl that always hung around with all the pretty girls and stuff. I was like mom, like, you know, homie mom that didn't really like fit the crowd, you know. And so I never really approached her. And then a few years later, which is now after my divorce and stuff, I mentioned to a mutual friend about Alex. And she's like, oh, she's my friend. And I'm like, really? She's like, yeah. I was like, well, hook it up. You know? And she goes, well, you know, okay, okay. And she kept on trying to call her, and she never would respond. And then finally, my friend needed some information from me because I was in real estate. And she wanted me to look up a house. And I was like, I ain't giving you nothing until you give me what I asked you for.
What? She wasn't playing around. You know how to play, don't you?
Right. Yes. And sure enough, she got a hold of her. And then we ended up meeting. And that's a whole nother story, because we went on a blind date. We never really left each other ever since.
Aww. Damn.
We talked on the phone for a good three months before we actually met in person.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so this is where we come together now. So in this time is when the market, like, again, it had crashed on top of my depression. So when I met Alex, I was on a lot of medication, a lot of Western medicine. I always was a spiritual person as far as, like, trying to find out my spirituality. But I never really understood it because I didn't fit in any religious box, because I grew up Catholic. I moved over to Christianity. I had my son in Christian school. I had then had him in a Lutheran school because Christianity started to tell him that gay people were bad and that you have to boycott Disney movies and all of these things. I was like, oh, no, you need to leave that school. So I took him out of there and I put him in a Lutheran school. And because, of course, I was a gay woman. And then when with Alex coming in, she really was about, like, magic, like, stuff that I was like, oh, no, you a witch. Like, you're, like, putting, like, candles up and praying on the moon and going around three times around the circle, you know, around the table and, like, chanting. And I was like, and my son would say to me, like, Mom, that woman's crazy. She's burning candles. And he's like, I'm scared. And I was like, me too.
But she cute. I said, but she cute. So she stayed. Her and her candles are staying.
We get around it. It's all good. So when I met her, I told her, I said, you know, your religious belief or whatever belief system you have, I'm okay with. You know, I'm not going to judge you for what you do. However, I'm not participating. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I have my belief system, which is, you know, my Catholicism and my Christianity. So I still believe that, even though the church kind of didn't accept me as much as I would liked it. It still was a very big foundation to my belief system. Mm-hmm. So when she said, no, it's okay. And then when I started to see things, like, really magically happen, like, you know, of course, this time when the market crashed, you don't have anything. I mean, I'm getting my cars repoed. My houses are in bankruptcy. I had to claim bankruptcy. You know, I'm living off of money that I had saved over the years. And I, when you're an entrepreneur for so long, it's so hard to, like, have an interview when you're the one that usually gives the interview. Like,
right.
How do I even explain? And then right now at this time, it's like you need a college education. And one thing, I hated school. Mm-hmm. Like, I was done, honestly, in ninth grade. I was like, I was...
peace out.
Right? I was like, Mom, like, I'm good, right? Like, I'm just going to go on Fridays and take the test, and I'm good. Like, I'm okay. I've learned enough, and I'm out. And my parents, of course, were like, crazy. But I did. I just didn't like it. And so... going into these interviews, they didn't care about, like, how much background. I owned a medical billing company for 13 years. If I didn't have, you know, these degrees, I was basically not really looked at. So I wasn't about to go work for somebody else. And so Alex and I, when we had met, and we never left each other's side, and I'll say a little bit about Alex, 18 years old. You want to tell your story? You want me to tell your story?
How did you get into magic? How did you start? Like, is this something that you grew up around in your family?
No. Well, my mom's very religious, but religion for me was always very, like... boxed. I felt boxed. Like, in some stuff that I didn't agree with. Like, I was like, why do I have to sit in some room and tell some guy, like, my sins?
Like, who is this guy?
Yeah. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. It just didn't feel right. It didn't resonate. So, you know, I started exploring, and when I was 18, my parents used to live here, and then they decided to move back to Columbia. So, and I made the choice to stay. And so I did. They left. And so I always... contrary to her, I love school. So I put myself through school.
Oh, where to get you now?
I'm just like, where I am today. Thank you.
You need that degree for shit.
I'm sorry, that was supposed to be in the closed doors of our own home. Sorry about that.
We have this argument all the time because I feel like I use my degree every day. She doesn't seem to think so. Well, we differ on that, but we just agree to disagree. So I put myself through school and I'm a social worker, a sociology major. So in that, like, I chose a lot of, like, cultural, religious classes. And I learned a lot about different stuff. And so I started seeing, like, there's so much more out there. And so I started exploring that. And I started kind of deciding, well, you know, there's a little bit from, you know, Buddhism that I like, a little bit from Kabbalah that I like, you know, a little bit from Santeria that I like, a little bit from this. And so I started kind of creating my own arsenal of belief, in, you know, for myself. And I didn't feel like I had to go somewhere, like, every Sunday and do this, like, ritual. Like, I could do it at home. So I started doing that, and it worked for me. Like, it felt good to me. I had my little altar in my house, and I'd light my candles and, you know, do my, what I now know as manifesting. But, you know, I was just basically putting my thoughts and my ideas out into the universe. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I practiced that. And so when we met. Yeah,
I was like, oh no, that can't be around me. But it only took about 2 years and I was in full force. Like, I was like, give me that candle. Like,
I was building an altar today. You need a fresh altar.
Yes. Because things actually she started to do was actually starting to happen. And I could see, I'm like, she's not a bad person. Like, because when you hear the word witch, you automatically just have, like, a negative.
You think darkness, dark.
Like, yeah, do,
like,
right?
Bad spells, like death. Right.
Yes. And as a young child, I was always intrigued, like, fascinated by, like, those, like, botanicas, even though they were dark and dusty and, like, kind of scary. I still felt like a certain way of, like, wanting to go in. And then if and when I did go in, I felt like I didn't have as much knowledge, so they weren't really wanting to talk to me, or I wasn't part of the clique.
Right.
I didn't belong. And so this is somebody that's, like, very religious too. Like, I always seeked something in religion that kind of fulfilled me. And so going to these stores, I didn't feel, like, connected. So then when we met with Alex, and she's all about witchery and stuff, and I was like, well, maybe this is the, you know, and it doesn't have a name. Like, it was just spirituality. It didn't have, like, a certain name to what the belief system was. And I kind of, like, was in it. Mm-hmm. And so then we started to do candle magic, and I started to do that, and then I started to learn, and that's all it took. It was like literally wasn't about reading books and wasn't about Googling everything. It was more about I was in a very vulnerable and a very, I like to say we were in desperation, you know, because a lot of times you don't start to make magic happen until the rug gets slipped underneath you, that it forces you to stand up. Mm-hmm. And so that was our moment. It was like everything was being taken. There was a lot of stuff happening in the world at that time. And we just was like, I'm going to pray and I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah, I feel like the universe, you know, for whatever reason brought us together, because I was going through a lot as well. I had properties mm-hmm. that I was losing.
Several.
Because I was in real estate too. Because at heart, I mean, yeah, I went to school and I was like, I'm going to be a social worker or whatever. Like, I had these goals, but, you know, deep down inside, like, I had that entrepreneur kind of, you know, vibe. And I was like, if I'm going to, you know, like, this is something that I want to fall back on, but this priority was I wanted to have my own business. I wanted to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. And so I started with the real estate thing. I was like, okay, yeah, like, girl, you know, be Trump and buy property and, you know, sit back and just collect the rent. And but it didn't work out that way. So we were both in the same place losing everything. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it was a time where, like, we needed each other, and somehow, you know, the universe brought us together, and I introduced some stuff to her, and we just kind of started sharing different.
And so during that time, we would talk about, like, a spiritual detox center. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the whole lottery ticket.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were, like, scratching lottery tickets. That was, like, my thing. Like, I'm going to win, you know, for life.
I was always like, $1,000 a week for life. I want that one.
You know? And so we would say, like, when you win the lottery, babe, like, what would you do with the money? And I'd be like, oh, I'd buy my mom this, and I'd buy my dad that, and da-da-da. Like, we would just, you know. And then we would always talk about this spiritual detox center that we wanted to open, and how, like, these things, this magic isn't all bad, like how I felt it was, because mm-hmm. I lived through it. And during this time, I had my first tarot reading. Mm-hmm. And I remember
because
being,
Alex took you or
no,
just separate?
No, this is before Alex. It was like a few months before I met Alex. One of my cousin that my aunt had passed away, her daughter said, because I didn't tell anybody what happened.
I think that's the most interesting about this story. Well, two things. I think one of the most interesting things is that you were reluctant to figure out what was happening over there, even though you had this really like experience with mm-hmm. someone who, a spirit, you know, right, but like you were fighting obviously this pull that says,
because that spirit I knew,
right?
What kind of spirit is she talking to?
Who are you talking to? Is it your auntie?
That's something different. That's
but she was dabbling, she just was,
she didn't realize she was doing,
she didn't realize,
it.
Yeah. Right?
We weren't tapping in.
And then my other question before you, sorry, I'm like,
no, that's okay.
I know you're initially like your son's father, you're married, was he religious?
He wasn't, but his mom was very religious.
And at that point, did you know you were a lesbian? Or you liked women?
Honestly, I believe I was my whole life.
But you
I don't,
maybe didn't say
I
it?
I can tell you. The reason why I think I don't know why this happens as far as, I don't know if it's a, I can't even say why this happens. For me, I'm going to say why I feel that I'm gay.
Like,
now, I could be born,
yeah,
I'm not going to talk about, like, how society views it and how other people view it. I'm going to say why I chose to be with a woman.
Okay.
My choice. And my choice was one, I never really felt comfortable with a man. Completely. There was a disconnect, and I did feel more comfortable with women. And then, as a child, I was molested by my uncle. Mm. Which even pushed me further away from men. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I don't think I need to try to figure out why, what. All I know is I'm comfortable here and this is where I want to stay. Mm-hmm. And so when I was with Eric, I mean, yeah, Eric is my son, his dad. I loved him. So I can't say that I would have ever left him other than his alcoholism. Mm-hmm. Because he had issues with that. Unfortunately, it had nothing to do with, I just couldn't raise my child in an alcoholic home.
Right.
Because my father's father was an alcoholic. And my dad instilled in us, like, no drugs, no alcohol, like, we don't do that. So it was very difficult for me to, and I tried to help him. We even tried to help him for a couple years. He lived with us to help him.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
it's amazing that you guys tried, that you had the relationship and the ability to try and navigate that way. You
we
know?
Actually just lost him to alcoholism.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
So my son is the eldest of four boys. And so it's been a little difficult for him. But you know, it's been a journey with that, because he's always been my friend. He was a friend to her. Right. Like, he was a beautiful man, but unfortunately just couldn't beat the disease. Mm. You know, so being I had a partner, of course, but I've always raised my son as a single mother, because both women, my wife before Alex was involved, but she had very strict guidelines of like how she
what
wanted
her role
to
was.
Yeah, and I would never wanted to raise my child with somebody that was like so strict. So, you know, when you're in a relationship, you guys know, like, it's hard to bring somebody else in and like, how are you gonna raise my kid? Like, that's my baby. Like,
right,
like, no, like, whoa. Right, right. I want you to be a parent, but like, I don't
also,
want you to be
but
a
also
parent.
Calm down. Yeah. Yeah.
So follow my lead.
Yeah, right? Have my back. Shut the fuck up.
And sometimes you're like, hey, just take care of it. Right. Like, why are you asking me? Right. We're just so like,
but crazy.
Yeah, but on the other side, it's not a good place to be, because then you don't, you know, from my perspective, it's like, okay, well, I don't know how much I can
do or
do
not,
not
do, right.
do. So, you know, it makes it very difficult.
What do you mean?
And
you're supposed to read our minds.
Well,
exactly. Well, I think it makes it difficult when somebody is like really strict about how they want to parent too. You know what
right.
I mean? If
right.
two people have similarities in parenting, like, okay, well, what, you know, like, mm-hmm. then it's easy to vibe that way. But if you're thinking like something completely different than what I'm thinking, and you're not the biological parent, then it's going to be a constant
right
yeah tug and pull. Absolutely. And for me, you know, like, from the beginning, like, I've been gay all my life. Like, it's never been a question. It's like,
she has a shirt
yeah,
5 years old, I'm a boy.
Yeah.
Literally, like,
yeah,
like
literally, like, I fought my mom for this t-shirt, because there was the pink, I'm a girl, and the blue, I'm a boy, and I was like, no, this is the one I want, you know, and I have pictures with it. So there's never been a question, but for me, like, I had always, you know, when I started being in relationships and stuff, I'd always made a conscious decision not to be with somebody who had children, because that, you know, was always like, I don't want to deal with baby daddy's drama.
Oh, right,
and
right.
you know, like, this whole thing, it just was too complicated. And, you know, for whatever reason, I fell in love with somebody who does have a child. But I can't say, and I wouldn't change it for the world, but I do have to say it was very difficult for me, because I never wanted to have children. So, you know, and I am very set in my ways, and I do think that certain things should be certain ways, and so it was very hard for me to, like,
adjust
and do that without stepping on anybody's toes. And, like, it was, you know, a touchy situation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for people out there that want to have a relationship with somebody, from my perspective, you know, you really have to bend and kind of follow the lead.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want problems.
And you really want the relationship.
No, right.
And you really want the
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. She seems fiery, so.
Oh, yeah. Girl, you don't even know.
But my son knows, like, when he was little, because being, you know, also a boy, I always kind of felt like, oh, no, he's going to get bigger than me one day. Like,
right.
you know, and I never wanted to have a girl, because I prayed to God. I was like, please don't give me a girl. Please don't give me a girl. One, because I knew how I was. And two, I had a niece, and she just, like, oh, she scared me. Like, I was like, uh-uh, you need to be a boy. Like, get
no matter what.
Right. Yeah. So, but he definitely was the kind of kid I could look at, and he would be like, you know, so he was pretty much on, pretty straightforward. But as being an entrepreneur, my son also spent a lot of time, you know, like, alone. He did a lot of, he is a loner, so it kind of helped as far as my entrepreneurship, you know, goes, because he's not one to, like, need a big crowd of people, where I grew up and I wanted all my friends at the house, you know?
Is your son, because of, you know, the journey that House of Intuition has taken you on, and now you have, you know, you obviously... Alex has, you know, opened up your world to magic, mm-hmm. and I'm sure even just the journey of being in House of Intuition and meeting your healers and tarot card readers. Is your son also, like, very much in this space as well?
He actually, because he's, you know, just way younger too, and he's definitely higher in consciousness already. Mm. I think the younger generation, you don't need to tell them about, like, they're already so connected to Earth and to, like, recycling and not overbuying. And, like, he's so already in consciousness that this was like, oh, finally, Mom, like, you got it. Like, so he's more like me not having to really guide him. He's more like my teacher than I'm his teacher. I think a lot of our children are our teachers.
Absolutely.
They teach us so much, you know, and he's done that for me. So being with the house, going back to like a tarot reading, I had never had one before. So when I got it, I was like, with my arms crossed and everything.
Skeptical?
Very skeptical. And I felt a way about it because I had like the whole, oh, these people just want to take your money, or they're going to tell me something that, you know, I have a hex on me or whatever. So I always was very against it. And plus my religious belief system was like, oh no, you never look into the future because then you're opening up a door to like hell.
Everything's the gateway to hell.
Yeah. So always so scared. But in this time I was so depressed and I was obviously going through a lot of stuff emotionally that I went, and what this woman told me was so profound that I could feel it like in me. Like, she brought up my aunt. She said her, like, she described her. Mm. She like went through all the chains of events that I had been going through. So I knew spirit was there. Some other force was there with us at that table. And it changed my life in that very first moment. And then with Alex coming in, and she had already done a tarot reading before, it was on. It was like, oh, we need to figure life out. Let's go to the tarot reader. You know? So we would like go and we would listen and we would pick and choose what we wanted to take. So this particular reading that we would go to, Alex and I were having yard sales, by the way, to sustain our mortgage to pay for our livelihood for the first like couple years before the House of Intuition. Right. And then we went to the tarot reader and we're like, what's going on? Like, what's going on with my life? And she's like, you guys are thinking about something. You guys have another, like, something's going on here. And I was like, oh, babe, she's talking about that spiritual detox. And so I said, you know, should I ask? And Alex was like, yeah. And I asked, you know, yeah, we want a spiritual detox center. We want one that has no religious form. We want to have a center that is no store, by the way. It wasn't supposed to be a store. Mm. It was just supposed to be of tarot readings that show that tarot readings aren't as bad. It's the human behind the cards that has that takes advantage of people that are vulnerable. So it's us humans that are creating that bad.
Right.
And so she's like, let's see. And she flips the cards and she's like, absolutely, that's where you guys are supposed to be. That's what you're supposed to do. 5 days later, we saw that little house up on the hill. Mm. And we took all of our money and basically, and my son's college education.
Money. Well, you never liked school, so.
Like, you're good, school, boy, right? You're good. You're good.
Yeah. Right? She didn't like it. She didn't have a problem.
She didn't think twice. You ask him when he's 10, you're good, right? Smart enough.
2 years, you're good.
Yeah, you're good.
What's 5 times 5? All
right. Basically.
Give me your money.
You're on my team. And so he just basically said, yeah, Mom, you know, like, you could take whatever you need. Don't worry about it. I'll get to school. And I said, okay. So we took that money. Alex actually had a couple houses up in Silver Lake, and she let those go. She sold one of them. And that's what supported the House of Intuition. We put every single penny into there, into that space. And it was vacant for 9 months, did nothing for like 8 months, and we were losing everything. But we had our faith, and we knew why we wanted to have it. We want, the main purpose of House of Intuition, and it has never changed, is because I still feel like we are so small and the world could be so big. And sometimes when we get in that space, we need that little light of hope. And as long as we have a safe space to be able to get our tools, to be able to do our church in our homes, I think that's really where our spirit lies, is like, we can do our own rituals, our own like magic in our homes without having to seek outside of ourselves, because that's where we started.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so funny, like, how the universe works, honestly. Like, I'm sitting here thinking about, like, just how, you know, we connected with you guys, and towards the end of last year, I really started to think about my spirituality. And, like, I grew up, my dad is like went to goes to church every single Sunday. One of the biggest sinners I've ever met. He's now better, but like because of that, I always thought church is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I don't want to go. I have no desire to go. So much so that I was like a self-proclaimed atheist at one point. Mm-hmm. And like my mom cried and it was like a whole thing. And my mom, she would go to church every now and then, but my dad and my mom were not together. So I didn't spend a lot of time with my dad. So the time that I did spend, it was always Sunday. We'd go to the church and I was like, okay, I fucking hate this. Like, so I just had a bad experience with church. Then I went to Catholic school, and from before I went to Catholic high school, I was at a very liberal school that was, like, very hippy-dippy, so mm-hmm. then going to Catholic school was so the polar opposite, so then it right. just kind of, like, solidified my belief that this is bullshit.
Right.
So then, like, I think, I don't know if it's age, kids, I also feel like I do have something that has protected me in so many ways in my life. I'm always protected from bullshit, mm-hmm. and like specifically money too. Like I'm always like there's something always works out for me. Like at my mm-hmm. the last hour, the last day, like something happens. And so I was telling Jamila and I was telling our listeners they've listened to me talk about this idea of like I need to understand what the spirituality is. Like I keep telling people I'm spiritual, but what the fuck does that actually mean? Like if I'm not actually doing anything about it, it just means I'm not an atheist. To me, it was like I'm not an atheist anymore, but I'm also not religious, so I'm like spiritual. You know? So I was like, you know, at the end of this end of last year, like a few things happened in my life that were just so like. It was just very painful, and it kind of put life in perspective, and that like life is so fragile. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I think I need to. I felt this like pull to figure it out. And so over the last few weeks, I went to church. So I went to church. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I've shared it yet, but I did go to church. I went to two churches. So I went to one church, and I told Jamila I walked in, and like everyone was singing songs, and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. I felt like really uncomfortable. I was like, I got really tense, and like I felt really uncomfortable. And then we had to like talk to each other. Like everyone was like, go say hi to everyone. I was like, oh god. But then, like, when the preacher went up and he started talking about Bible verses, which also makes me uncomfortable. We started talking about the meaning behind them and relating them to my life. I was like, okay, I can connect to that. So I was like, okay, I don't know if that's my place, but maybe. So then I still went to church with my dad like 2 weeks ago, and that was not my place. I was like, that's not my place. And then I was saying, I'm not necessarily looking for a church. Like, I wanted to go explore other places as well. But hearing you and hear you talk about like pulling like practices or belief systems from different like Buddhism, and that was kind of like where I was at in college, because I had taken like a class on
world religions,
Confucianism, and Eastern spiritual practices or whatever. It confirms to me I'm still on this journey and I'm still exploring, and I probably might go to another church. I don't think church is for me, but like knowing that like this, that you guys are here right now, we're talking mm-hmm. about this kind of like is like perspective for me. Like, okay, yeah, I can do this at home. Like I just have to like put in the effort and figure out what it does mean to me, what works for me, what right. speaks to me.
Absolutely.
And for me, like even thinking about House of Intuition, like intuition for me is something that, I have very strong intuition, and I've often gone against it, and obviously has not served me. And I told myself this year, I told Jamila, like, and she knows I'm annoying with it, because I'd be like, I'm not doing it. My intuition says no.
I just changed my mind. I'm doing it. Bitch, you're going to the
and
club.
She's like, what about my intuition? I don't know. You have your own intuition. I told myself in 2020, I'm following my intuition.
I'm left alone.
No, as you should, though. It's important.
But yeah, like, I feel like I'm kind of on this journey, too, of, like, where maybe you guys were then, or you right. were then, trying to figure out what does it all mean to me.
Right.
So
it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, what works for you may not work for me. What works for me to, you know, some things that she does that I'm like, okay, you know.
That's you know, cute.
Go on with yourself. But yeah, it's cute or whatever, but it's not something that I would do, and vice versa. Like mm-hmm. she's pulled some of my stuff, but it's about that. We're all individuals, and what, you know, we all have different guides that, you know, walk with us. And so we need to explore that and explore what feels right. That's mm-hmm. what's most important.
I think that's the biggest thing that people fuck up. I think that, you know, like I always call it, I always say this, like, when we're born, our kids are born, and then we, like, we house train them. You know, we socialize them. We make them, like, don't do that. You can't step in this person's way. Don't stand that close to someone. Don't do this. Or, like, a lot of times in family settings, we adopt religion. We're told what that means.
Yes, right.
We're told, you believe in Jesus. If that's not your savior, and you start looking at the moon and the stars and dancing around the fire and shit, that's dark, you know? Yeah, that's that devil shit, you know? Even to the point where, like, me growing up, my dad is not religious. I mean, now, more like, in his older age, he's like, oh, yeah, I believe in God. I'm like, oh, do you? Because that's not what the fuck you told me when we grew up. He's like, Jesus is some white man, the white man made up, and everybody believed it. And I was like, so growing up, that's what I thought. I was telling my friends, like, Jesus is a made-up white man. The white people made up, you know? and then even I, because I've always been very much my own person, you know? Like, I'll explore some shit, even almost more if you tell me not to. And so I had, like, an eighth grade, like, 1 year strong, heavy, and Christian, the youth group, you know? And there was times I was like, something seems off about this. But one thing that and then in high school, I also went to a Catholic school, which was, like, for its time, kind of a liberal Catholic school. And I knew a lot of shit didn't make sense because just like, you know, I knew I like girls. I like women. I knew I like women since a very, like, an early age, like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And even like, it was never like a question. I just, like, even 13, I was like in love with one of my close friends. Like, I was a self-proclaimed lesbian in college again. I'm like, I don't like guys at all. I'm good. So it wasn't like, but in the 12th grade, I think they like drilled Catholic, but in 12th grade, they gave us, like, one semester of world religion, and they had, like, one really good book, and it had, like, it covered everybody else's shit, and I was like, finally! They're talking some shit that makes some sense!
Right.
But I also, I realized, like, okay, I could take this, I could take that, I could take this, yeah. That shit doesn't make any sense, and because it was conflicting, like, but I love Asia! Why do I love Asia if Jesus says it's wrong? I was, like, praying to God, like, if it's wrong, make it go away, God, please make it go away, and the shit didn't go away, so I had to kick the Christianity to the curb. Like, bitch is still alive, still like this bitch, so. But I feel like people so often are, like, get fed what they're supposed to believe instead of really thinking what resonates with them and what feels right. Because I think the problem is, like, even with intuition, is just our own embodying God. You know, one thing about the Bible that resonates is, like, we're made in her image or his image, but that also bothered me. Like, who the fuck studies a guy?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like, that's what people deny in themselves, is that their spirit, like, we are a part of whatever the God energy is. Mm-hmm. And when you deny yourself the freedom to explore that, like, I'll take sign from anything. I'll be at the curb and I'll be seeing, like, a bird I've never seen before. I'm like, what does seeing one blue jay mean? Saturday and crescent moon. I'm like, the Native American, somebody, the spirit is speaking to me. Everything is a sign.
Right.
Every animal, every interaction, every stranger. I take heed to that. Every message, if I have a thought and then someone in the next hour says something to me that relates to that, I'm like, oh, okay, that you're confirming, for the universe is telling me this is how it's supposed to be. And even in that article I read about you guys, it said something about, like, you guys, like, embarking on this niche, like, place, and then how do you niche, did I fuck it up? this space, and then look how much you've grown. And who would have, I mean, I'm sure at that point you knew, but you probably told some people, and they're like, bitch, you're crazy. You know what I'm
so
saying?
So you're going to sell what? Crystals?
You're gonna sell some candles over on the hill in Sunset, right, you know? But even, like, with Erica and I, like, we're just business partners, even though I wish we could just, we're like work wives. There's so many things, even in this space, that even reading that article, it resonated with me, because so many people are like, you guys are going to be, like, talking about your mom shit and your hoe shit? What do you mean? But we are so adamant, like, there's a space for this.
Right.
And even in our journey, I think we've become mutually more, like, I don't think I've prayed with one other partner, like, but we have prayed together, we have made some visions together, we have been places, like, we're about to hear this song, we're about to do this, we're about to connect to this person, and then we'll walk right into the party, and,
wow,
yo, the song will play, I'm like, oh my God, we knew, you know what I'm saying? So there's just, like, these alignments and these synchronicities that I think are divine, really, and whatever people would like to think are godly or religious or whatever, but...
Or even coincidence. I don't believe in that.
I don't believe in that shit either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really think that if we all knew how powerful we really were, we would not be a controlled society. So, this is where everything is like starting to come up. It's like, we know how powerful we are. And as we start to actually stop seeing it as a sign and know that it's actually happening, that we don't question the signs that are coming or question our actual, you know, God-given gift, which is in ourselves. Because I think it's bullshit that some people are born with a gift and some people aren't. I think we're all psychic. I think we are all magical beings. I feel like we all can create magic and things to happen, because I know everybody has thought of that one friend and all of a sudden, or ex-boyfriend or boyfriend, and all of a sudden they call you or you bump into them and you're like, holy shit, I was just thinking of you.
No.
And think about every time you want to do that with everything you want in your life and everything that is due to you karmically, or lessons that need to be, that also need to come up, is just something that you need to think about. We weren't taught that. Where was it stripped of us? Because our ancestors knew. That's why they didn't need what we have here in this world today. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever they needed something, they did rain dances when they wanted the rain. When they wanted certain things, they would do like moon rituals, and they would go into the ocean. They would do things. When there's something hurting, they would go grab some herbs, you know, put it in a mortar and pestle, rub it all over them, boom, they were healed.
Well, because we were derived from this earth. We are part of the earth.
And we are still those people.
We are.
We just have forgotten.
Yeah.
And that is something.
But your soul does not forget.
Exactly. No. Your soul exactly. does
your
not
soul, that's
forget.
That's not when shit happens. It's not because, it's because you've been so numb and so like covered.
And conditioned.
Conditioned.
Right. And, exactly. And us parents actually do condition our children.
Yeah.
So if we tell our children that, you know, religion is the way, if we tell our children we're Catholic or we're Christian or you can't believe in, you know, the fairies, because who's to say the child didn't see a damn fairy?
Right.
Like, who's to say that we don't see it anymore because we turned it off?
Right.
We've been conditioned not to see it, you know, because I remember as a child feeling spirits. I remember an energy field. Maybe I didn't see them with my own two eyes until I got older, but I remember feeling another energy in a room with me.
So do I.
And my parents would say, the boogeyman doesn't exist. It's not here. Look, nothing's here.
You're
nothing's
tripping.
Here. Everything's mm-hmm. okay, because they want to protect you. They want to, you know, not put fear in you. But in reality, if they would have just asked me, what do you see? What is going on? Mom, it's, I don't know. It's like, it feels, it's not scary. It just feels like it's here. And encourage me and nourish that. Then I would have tapped into that intuition way long ago. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hoping, like mothers now, the younger generation, like they're really about like astrology. We have so many kids coming into the store and like they know, they're in tune. They
love crystals.
They love crystals. They're like so into it. Like your daughter walking in here thinks I'm a witch, sees me as a human, but knows like, whoa, like she's intrigued by it. Why? Because she's not afraid of it. She wasn't afraid to see like some scary woman coming in here, you know, gonna cast a scout.
You know what she did ask me though, which like, I thought was really funny.
A frog or something.
She was like, what color is her hair?
What?
But she's not afraid.
And I was like, I wonder if she thinks it's black or something. Like, you know, I was like wondering, like, what does she think a witch looks like? I mean, because she watches, you know, cartoons and stuff. But yeah, no, I think you're totally right.
We're all witches.
I think you're right. That's what I tell my daughter. I'm a witch, and so are you. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's what I
better, you know, like, we're all
magic. You know, I think too, like, it's, we do have, I think about that too, like, even having this conversation, the responsibility, you know, me and Jamila have, because our kids are at an age now where it's like, it is like a crucial time of like, this is the time where we start drilling in realities mm-hmm. versus like
intuition,
mm-hmm. you know, and right. telling them like, no, you didn't see a monster, because
it's convenient for you to be like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Go back to bed.
Right. And I think
about, don't have to watch that scary movie.
Right.
I'm sitting here thinking about what have I already done? What have I done that's like, I mean, I know that there's things I can undo, but what have I done already?
It's also part of her journey, though.
Yeah.
Remember, like, nothing that you have done is not the way it should be.
Right. That's true.
So you don't go backwards. All you can do is be better and learn lessons and move forward.
And
so,
you're still learning a lot, too. I mean, you're mm-hmm. still on your journey, and you're still trying to figure it out.
You didn't get a parent handbook.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's why, too, I also feel, I think because I have a kid now, I have this pull to figure that out, you know, because I want to be able to help guide her in whatever way.
No, I
don't. Not figure it out, but have some sort of, like, I thought about even when I was going to church, am I going to bring her? Like, should I bring her with me? And then I decided not to, because I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to be here again.
I think it's important, though. I think it's cool. I think it's cool for our kids to see us go through the journey. Like, when I grew up, I went to churches, different churches with different friends. I went to Lake Shrine, the Lake Shrine with Danielle's mom, and that really gave me insight. And then even my parents allowed me to go to church, even though they're like, I don't know what they're doing over there. They would not let me get baptized, though. But they let me, you know, I saw different things. And so I think even with Luna, like, there was a moment where I was, like, practicing Buddhism and doing Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, and I was making her do it with me in the mornings. And because I was, and at the time, I was like, I was going through leaving my baby daddy and moving out, and I needed something. I felt like I needed something. And I also remember telling those people, like, I want my kid to have some type of foundation and really understand spirituality.
I think religion foundation is a really good place to start.
Or just spirituality, but then they started calling me too much, so I stopped going. But when I was doing it, she was coming with me into the bush. We would bang the bell in the morning. Yeah. And then when it graduated from there, even like in my home, I would make altars, people that, you know, we know who passed, put water, put liquor, put whatever. And then I would discuss, put money, and I would discuss that with her. So even when it changes and like whatever, the next thing I come up and adopt, I'm just going to, we're going to keep talking about it and keep it. It's an ongoing process. You don't come to an arrival of,
I'm not Buddha. I'm not looking to be Buddha. Okay. But I just feel like, I feel a responsibility to kind of really, truly explore it more. You know, like if I say I'm spiritual, then what does that actually mean? Don't say that then.
If you're not taking the time to actually nurture spirituality.
Yeah. You know, I'm a real ass bitch. So I need to explore that. That's what I'm doing. I think I need to go up to House of Intuition and go.
I know. I want to go like tomorrow.
I feel like I need to go up there.
But I do think that Mila's right, though, that it's important for them to see that it's okay that if something doesn't feel right, that it's okay to keep exploring and move on. You know, like you don't have all the answers. And whatever is good for you may not be good for her, but at least she's going to be able to see that, oh, you know, if this doesn't feel right, I don't have to do this. I can move on to whatever and keep exploring her own thing. And it may be very different than what what you're teaching her. But foundationally, you're teaching her that it's okay to explore.
Right. And to believe in something outside
of her, a higher power, whatever that is.
Even with my dad, like, he talked shit to me that time I wanted to get baptized in the 8th grade. But, and he talks a lot of shit in general, because that's the kind of relationship we have. But I still did it. And even, like, when I thought I was never going to like men again, I was just hardcore lesbian. I was like, I think I'm in love with my baby daddy again. He's like, I thought you're a lesbian. Shut up, I thought you're a lesbian. So I think even, like, having a parent who was, like, kind of like, to me, like, even though he said he talked his shit, I still knew I had the space to explore and, like, be who I was, I don't know if he had a choice, but, like, I was allowed to explore and be who I wanted to be, even if they were going to talk shit about it, which I kind of think also makes, like, a kind of a stronger child, because I'm going with my intuition, and, you know, last week I was lesbian, this week I'm not, Dad. I'm a witch this week.
Unless there's a cute girl walking by me. For the afternoon.
You never know what's gonna happen with me, okay? Keep them guessing. But at least you give your kid just the wherewithal to be gut to whatever the fuck is going on with inside you, whether it be you know, this or that or this. So I think that's, you know, like, that's our responsibility as moms and as human beings, just to, like, change the perspective of, like,
and my son too, now that, you know, he's seen such a growth in not only, like, the business, but also within ourselves. Alex and I have found a lot of things out in our own self, what we need to heal, what we need to work on constantly, that he's actually been able to also see how, no matter how old you are, you can change into whichever you know, whatever part is your journey.
Version of yourself.
Yeah, so right now in your 30s, you might be like, I don't know if I'm spiritual, or I don't know if I'm this and that. And then when you're in your 40s, you might just be like, I'm a Buddhist, you know?
Right.
And it's okay.
Or I'm back to atheism.
Right. Yeah, I'm back to atheism. Yeah. So, I don't know, you may make your own religion up.
I mean, really, that's what it's about.
You know. Whatever makes you feel good and whatever is helping you through this life and through this journey of yours.
Just no culty shit. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And like she said, you know, Buddhism helped her at a certain point in her life, but may not be what's going to be with her forever.
Right.
And there might be a situation that arises for her that she'll find something now that's going to bring her comfort and that feeling of like, okay, this is going to help me get through this time in my life or whatever.
But so, magic's a whole nother story. Like, yeah. I love magic.
Okay. Can you share with our listeners what exactly, like, what's do you do up at House of Intuition? Like, what services do you provide? What's happening up there?
What kind of magic can we get?
Because I know you guys now have multiple locations. I mean, you started off in Silver Lake, and now you have Santa Monica, North Hollywood, with Highland Park, and...
Wait, is that North Hollywood open, right?
Yes.
I went to your pop-up in New York.
Nice.
I brought my mom with me, yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, so I stopped at your pop-up in New York, so... What's happening?
Well, our services were like the biggest. That was the thing when we first opened up the one in Echo Park. Mm-hmm. It was all about services. We had no store. We didn't want a store.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy was that, right? So we wanted to teach people, like, because tarot reading for me was so not what I was told. It was something that really helped me in my depression and to make me see things that I couldn't see. We only wanted tarot readings. Now today, over the years, over the 10 years, we've noticed that having a tarot shop and healers and class, all those other things, not classes, more like healers and readers, it was starting to be where people would lean more on, now they can't even like decide for themselves what to do. Mm. Because they're not being guided within themselves to say, okay, I can make a decision. It would now have to be called in to the tarot reader. Like, I didn't, it was like, oh gosh, now we're handicapping these people. Like,
I know some of those people.
I don't want to have that.
It's like the opposite of what we wanted to do in the first place. Like, we wanted to empower people. We wanted to
trust your intuition.
Yeah, trust your intuition. Yeah. You need confirmation. Yeah, there's a reader.
Especially when you're super cloudy and you can't see for yourself. I think readers are great to be able to bring in that clarity. Now, I also want you, as the person that's getting the reading, to also be accountable for listening to everything that a reader says. Because remember, they're just going to be the messenger. So just because they say something, you don't go, yes, this is exactly how this is going to get played out. You have to use your own intuition and discernment to say, oh, this resonates with me, this doesn't resonate with me. This is the information you gave me. I'm going to make these choices. Because you have to be accountable for your own actions.
Mm-hmm.
And just because somebody says something to you, because I think we channel spirit all the time. As a friend, I'm sure you've channeled for her. Channeling means that you're giving her, you know, some messages that are coming to you when you're consoling her or vice versa. And that can be from your spirits, your guides, even your other guides, to tell her, no, I don't want you to date this person, or this doesn't feel right. I don't think you should do this. I think that's our way of our psychic ability. And so that's what readers do, is give you these messages, and we should know what feels right and doesn't, and then we make those choices for ourselves.
Mm.
But then we started to see that it was just too much, so I was like, you know what, both of us were like, we're gonna have classes, let's give them the tools more, let's show them what we do, because candles were a big thing. That's how it just organically happened that way. People would ask, like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, do you want me to make you a candle? And I would literally make a candle at home, and I would bring it to a customer that came to our store. This is when Alex and I used to work the counter, which was for like the first 3 years in business. And I used to give people candles.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would give them like something that I would make on their behalf, and I would pray. But again, then I realized, oh, wait a minute. Now they're not learning how to make their own candle.
Mm.
Like, now they're not learning how to make their own magic. Now they're looking at me like I'm the one, that the magical being.
You're
here
their crutch.
With all the power.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like, so that's when it started to go, no, now we need to make a change. So it just evolved into One, I believe when we were younger, again, going to all those botanicas, I never felt really connected. You know, the botanicas and the stores out there used to make me feel very intimidating. And I felt like I was going to walk away with some weird entity, or I was going to like take something home, or I don't know. I was scared all the time. So I wanted to create a space. We wanted to create a space that people can come in and get their tools and ask. Like, it was no religion based, and you can ask about these things and we would tell you how we did it. And so that's kind of what happened and how it evolved. Because in the beginning, it had nothing to do with the store. Mm. So now it's really about, like you say, you know, I don't know if I'm spiritual or am I this. When you go to the house, you know, and you speak to any of our salespeople, which we call as our gatekeepers, they can guide you with, okay, well, what do you want to work on? That's the first thing you have to know. What do you want, looking at your life, what area would you like to work on? Do you want to work on your career? Do you want to work on your love? Do you want to work on
love,
self-healing?
Career. Self-healing.
All money, of the above. Okay, balance, so, so then you pick, so that you know how powerful you are, I'd say you pick one category right. within, and you start working on that mm-hmm. first. So you don't go taking home a buffet of stuff and not really realizing what's working, what's not.
Are tarot card readers like therapists? Not like therapists in that way, but like meaning like you have to vibe with them, or no, because they are like just sending the message.
I feel like you have to vibe with
them. No, I think you should vibe.
If it's somebody you're seeing regularly, yeah.
Because your aura and stuff is like, you know when somebody doesn't energetically connect. But I think tarot readers, it really depends. I mean, they have really good, most should have their intention should be always be for you. But we're human. So not all psychic readers or tarot readers come from a genuine place. And that is for you to figure out. So you're going to have to know when you sit in that chair, do you feel you have to tap into that person's energy and say, Is she coming from a heart space? Does this feel right? Mm. And you need to ask yourself that. And if it doesn't feel right, it's okay for you to stop a reading. A lot of people won't stop a reading. They just sit through it horribly. Mm. Like, everything she's saying doesn't make sense. Like, they don't want to ask any questions. They sit through the whole hour of just, like, not connecting. And then they walk away angry. But instead, take, like, say, hey, you know, you're not connecting with me. I'm not able to connect. I need to stop. And just go and walk away from it and then find a reader that you do connect with.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because for whatever reason, you have this voice in here and it's telling you, get up off the chair. This person isn't for you. She's not going to be able to give you the information that I need to send to you. So you need to get up and you need to leave. And a lot of people don't listen to that voice.
Mm. It's true. And it's also that can be like the determining factor of like, I'm never going to tap into my intuition mm-hmm. now because mm-hmm. I had this one bad experience.
Right. Because us humans love to blame everything on everything else except for taking accountability.
Yeah.
For
it's your fault.
Or, yes, like, exactly.
You didn't channel my grandfather.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's so interesting. Well, I don't know. Do we have any more questions?
I'll ask you when we stop recording.
What?
Okay. I think a lot of people always ask us where the house is going to go next.
Yeah, where are
the house is going to go next?
Because
we never
going back to her question with regard to like the stuff. So we went into like just providing the tools and teaching people, empowering people. We do have one of our locations, which is our mm-hmm. Highland Park location. We do have classes. We used to have them at Sunset. But we lost one of the the building was really in bad shape, and we're not using it anymore. So we moved our classes to our Highland Park location. So now we have classes for people to tap into their intuition, to learn how to candle magic, to learn, you know, all these different things. But at Sunset, we still have readers there. Mm. So if somebody wants to get a reading, you know, they can call in.
We do have readers there. And the classroom is really, now that we've grown into, you know, 8 stores now, we're actually able to give the community something that isn't so in, like, when you open up a business, you really have to look at, you know, your overhead cost, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to support the business. Because the business has been in business for so long now, our retail business does help the community to be able to hold what we have in our classroom now is to offer the community a membership where they pay $25 and $5 for every class.
I love that.
That's because our business is so established and able to give back. Because I think it's important when you at a level or even in your life in general, it doesn't even have to be money-wise. It's always about a give and take. You know, you have to balance that out. And that is one way that the house gives back, because it's not really about the money factor. It's more about we want to teach. Mm-hmm. So we also want to give teachers a platform to be able to teach at, so that they can continue to grow as well. So that is really awesome that we have that program. The other thing is like, we just kind of like see where the universe is going to take us. We used to try to plan and try to figure out. I do know that we want to eventually have more House of Intuitions throughout the United States, because I think it's important for just humanity, for us, right? I think there's a lot of healing that needs to be done in the world. Mm-hmm. And we all need to have that space to be able to get our tools to make our churches in our homes.
Are you only, your 8 stores are only in California?
There's 7 in California and 1 store in Miami.
Oh,
and
really? Pop up in New York.
A 9th store is popping up fairly soon, in the next like 60 days.
In California?
Yeah.
Where?
I haven't
announced
it.
It's a secret.
But it won't be in LA. Right? I mean, it'll be, but not like, it'll be pushed out a little bit further, because
because you have a lot of stores here.
Yeah.
I know.
We're covered here.
I know. They're like, LA? I'm like, I'm sorry. It's because it's, you know, everybody's journey. Like, you have to say, like, we still have fear, Alex and I. It's just her and I that own these stores. Like, so you can imagine, like, it's a lot of energy to hold down. Mm. So, yeah, I would love to have a store, an actual store in New York City. I would love to have a store in San Francisco. You know, I would love to have a store all in these different places. But it's like, putting your child out and trying to trust, you know, everything's going to happen. I can't just get in my car and fix something that happens. So it's a scary journey, but we know that it's out of our hands. The universe has us, so...
I'm so grateful for you guys for like going with your intuition and like providing this space for the community and for like women like us and like women, you know, just for the curious, because you're so right. There's so many people that like probably have an inclination slightly, but they don't know where to go. And like all we had was the craft, and now look at us. Now we have 9 locations of House of Intuition. I think that's just, I think it's super important. And
you know what I love too is it's a woman of color owned business. And that it's a space of like, you know, I just feel like we need this, you know,
more than
our community, like we need
specifically
this.
Women of color specifically need this, because there
need
is
a lot of
trauma
healing. And I think a lot of times we don't look within ourselves.
Yeah.
We're always looking for either Western medicine or just, you know, pushing it down. We'll deal with it later.
Got other shit to do.
Yeah. Like, you don't, you know, definitely don't go to therapy,
right.
You know? So it's like, This is such a necessary space.
It is.
For everyone, but I think...
Yeah. Building it, too, like, even, like, to the chandeliers and the black and white, you know, tile flooring and all that. Like, that all came, honestly, in the beginning. Like, we weren't like that. The reason I think I was guided and Alex was guided to do it was because the people that don't really know that they need to have spirituality, it's like your intuition led you here, so they kind of fall into the store thinking that it's like, oh, it's so, it's like it's guided by their spirit instead of being guided by it. If I had like pentagrams,
right,
you know, it would.
It's a true conscious, like intuitive
journey.
Yes.
So
what's up there?
Yeah.
So that's, and if you're a bitch like me, you're like, I was supposed to be in here.
So we definitely made a conscious decision to do that and to make people feel, you know, very much not scared,
mm-hmm.
Or intimidated.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, this is a specific type of witchery.
Right.
You know? Yeah. That's important too, because I think people can get intimidated. And there's a place in the valley here. It's called the Psychic Eye,
mm-hmm.
You know. And when I remember going in there,
it's a very famous place.
Yeah, I used to go in there and I would love it. I always felt like, is this like a certain type of witchery in here?
Am I supposed to already know what's going on in here? Or can
like,
you tell me?
Yeah, I would go into that place and be like, am I? I feel stupid. No one's talking to me.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Like, what do I do? Am I? I don't. I shouldn't be here.
I'm not a certified witch.
I'll just buy some
flowers. Yeah. I've been in the same. Like, okay, well, no one's telling me the first 3 steps, so I guess I'm gonna be going to the juice bar down the street.
Right, for sure.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming
and
sharing your journey.
Can you tell us where we can find you guys or House of Intuition?
On
the social platforms?
Yeah, our houseofintuitionla.com holds all of our locations. It'll tell you how to get to all of our locations on our website. We have an online store as well. And we have our pop-up still going in New York City.
I'm going to go pop-up. I'm going to pop-up next week.
We're going to New York next week, so we'll pop up again.
Wonderful. And then our IG, at House of Intuition. And Christina, what other things would you like us to say? That's our marketing girl. Look at you. I'm like, marketing's not part of my magical candle. I'm like,
I would say Facebook, because we're now posting a lot of our events on Facebook.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So guys, check them out on Facebook so you can see their events. Sign up for one. If you're in the LA area, make sure you go check out some of their classes. Maybe we should have like a little Good Moms
meet up.
Go and sign up, like all of like four or five of us, and go sign up. And
yeah, we're going to
make some candles or do something cool.
Our sex magic class.
Yes.
Oh,
like sex.
Calm down. She's just seen.
All of a sudden, she got religious, real religious.
Yeah, very serious.
Yes. You know I'm on a sexual journey right now.
You're on all the journeys.
I know.
Also, our live show is March 28th here in LA. It'll be our second Los Angeles live show, and it's going to be thebomb.com. It's actually called House of Bad Choices. if it's still pick up those VIP bags. There'll be something special from House of Intuition.
Yes.
And come see us. Buy your tickets online at www.goodmomsbadchoices.com. Also on our Instagram page, goodmoms_badmoms. And
what?
I mean, wait.
What? What?
I was so confident too.
I know.
Goodmoms_badmoms.
She was so confident.
I'm not even high. It's ridiculous. Okay, goodmoms_badchoices. Okay, take it from here, Erica.
All right, well, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.